Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in his hands. Of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now, and it's not comfortable, it doesn't feel good, but we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in his hands. Just know He has His hand. Just know He has His hand on you.
As the Spirit of God reaches out to your heart, I guess my question to you is, are you really listening? Do you hear the voice of God calling you to call you higher, to take you higher? Do you hear God saying, I have a job for you to do? Oh, I'm going to hit some hearts today, amen. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, March 17th. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair Season 2, brought to you always by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother, Hakim Nuba.
Hey, good evening, sir. How are you?
Brother, I am blessed, as always. How about yourself?
I'm feeling the same way, sir. In a great mood and sipping my lemon water. Fighting my cooties.
Amen. Doctor, get you some of that raw honey. And you can find you some raw honey. Mix it with that lemon water and add just a little teaspoon of apple cider vinegar, and it'll knock it right on out, Doc.
Oh, yeah. I'm at my parents' house, and my mom down there whipping up some kind of conjuring.
Amen. That's what mothers do, brother.
She's either going to heal me or give me superpower. I ain't figure out which one.
Amen. Well, you're already a hero, Doctor, so, you know, the superhero part is easy for you, Doc.
Hey, man, I get it from watching you, sir. But I appreciate it.
Oh, man. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Amen. Yeah, if you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can always tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show, 646-787-1798. Again, that number is 646-787-1798. And if you want to talk to us, all you have to do is press the number 1 and you will be placed in queue. And at the appropriate time, you will be able to speak, give a testimony, a comment, a prayer request, whatever is on your heart. We'll listen. I always like to open up the show with prayer. I say it all the time, and I am a firm believer that prayer changes things. I often tell those in my life and those who I meet that communication is the quickest way to solve any problems. Thus, if from a human standpoint, from a human standards, if communication can solve problems, then that means communication with God opens up unlimited access to blessings, amen? So if us talking to God in a prayer can open up a door that has unlimited access to all of the blessings that we have, that God has for us, then why aren't we praying, amen? So let us start this with prayer. Father God, we just thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do, Father, and what you've already done. Right now, Father, we stand in agreement, Father, that somebody listening to this show today needs a blessing. That there's somebody out here, Father God, that's crying out to you. There's somebody out here, Father God, that don't even know you, but their hearts are heavy. It seems as if everything is going bad in their lives, but yet they continue to press forward. Father, we ask right now that you would touch those that are lost. Send them, Father, our way so that we can teach them your works, your will for their lives. We thank you, Father, for such a season as this, as we prepare, Father, for Easter. We just thank you. I thank you, Father God, for being a beacon of light in the midst of darkness. Now, Father God, I ask that you would bless my good friend, my good brother, Hakim. Continue, Father, to heal his body. Continue, Father, to fill his mind up with new ideas and new insights, Father, so that this network, Father, can go higher and higher. I ask right now, Father, that you will bless all those that are listening right now. If you're listening live or if you're listening through podcast, I give a blessing to each and every one of you. I give up one of my blessings for you. I pray, Father God, for Michelle, the leader of this network. Bless everything, Father, that she touches. Let it prosper, Father, like gold. And let her see and know that it's all about you. We thank you, Father, because you continue to show us that you are still in the blessing business, that you are still on the throne. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. When I look at the way that the world is going, we can all sit back and have a pity party. But I am happy. I am full of joy. It is my prayer and my hope that you are too. Through this show, it is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to stand on his promises. But I'm humble enough to lend you my shoulder if you need someone to lean on. Know that I don't just say that. Know that those are words that I live by. Because I'm here to let you know that if I can't love on my fellow neighbor, what good am I to the kingdom? I got a testimony for you all. And boy, is this a whopper. Always have joy in your heart. Joy is a supernatural feeling. Joy is not an emotion that comes from anything that a human being can do for you or that you can do for yourself. Joy comes from serving the Lord. Joy comes from being enlightened by the word. Joy comes when all those darts that's been thrown at your back, when you can take that shirt off and see that there are no wounds. Joy is something that every Christian ought to have. This same joy is the joy that Jesus had throughout his ministry. It wasn't something that was given to him. It was something that was embedded in him because he remembered who he was. You see, I think about the book of James. Matter of fact, James the Just, the second bishop of the Christian church, was a just man. A man that tried to do all that he could do to serve the people. This same man who was the half-brother of our Messiah Jesus spoke a word and said that regardless to what goes on around you, to the left of you or to the right of you, or it could be right in front of you, death could be staring you in the face, but have counted, believe that you have. In those days when he spoke this word, he spoke those words to the Christians who were being persecuted, some by Nero, the crazed Roman emperor, some by people who just did not want Christianity to survive. Christians were being thrown into the Colosseums and made to fight lions and tigers and all sorts of wild beasts with the Bibles chained around their neck. But thus he told them to count it all as joy. When you find yourself going through issues where nobody wants to listen to you, when you think that nobody cares about you, when you think that you're all alone in this world, keep some joy in your heart. That joy will be the thing that catapults you to that next level. You see, Satan only desires to rob, steal, and kill us, to rob us of our joy, to steal our joy. And once he does that, we become easy pickings for him to destroy our lives. Oh, somebody is saying, tell me a little bit more. Yes, when we allow Satan to rob us of our spiritual richness, then he's ready to pounce. Matter of fact, if he can rob you of your richness, then you're no threat to him. I said it to my members last week, and I'll say it to you all today, that if you go through life and you do not have an issue, a problem, a situation, or a circumstance, then you better start questioning what's really going on. You better start wondering, why is it your life is going so good? For if Satan does not deem you as a threat, then he won't bother you. Somebody needs to know right now that it's time that you pick up that joy. And it can only come through Jesus the Christ. It can only come when you put your hands in his hands. Not sometimes, not most times, but fully. When you fully put your hands in God's hands, that means that you turn away from anything else that's going on in your life, anything else that's trying to destroy you, anything that's trying to deter you, anything. For when you fully give your life over to Jesus, when you put both of your hands in his hands, you turn to him and you turn your back to any and all situations. Oh, I'm not going to get no help today, amen. When you decide to follow Jesus, when you decide that you've had enough when you decide that having joy in your heart is better than ill feelings, evil intentions, jealousy, heartache, and pain. When you decide that you're ready for your heart to beat in the way that it is supposed to beat, it is only at that moment that you will find true peace in your life. Oh, come on, somebody. It's time that we put away the childish things and that we cling to our Almighty Savior. For such a time as this, for such a season as this, I prepare. I come to the throne with expectations and expecting a blessing, to work hard. Because I know that God has something great in store for me. But what say you, church? What say you? Do you go to church every Sunday just because? Or do you go to church every Sunday with joy in your heart? Oh, yes, I'm going to talk about it. Do you go to church just to see what the next person is wearing, to gossip about the fashion show, to gossip about the members, to gossip about the preacher, to lie on people? Do you go to church just to hear the negativity? Or do you go to church because it gives you joy? You're happy to be in the house just one more time. It's time that we start thinking about this. Because if we do, if you cannot say you go to church because it produces joy in your heart, then you need to go back and restructure your life. Because something is missing. Somebody here needs to hear this. And I'm just the right person to tell you. Jesus desires for us to have joy. Jesus desires for us to be heirs to salvation. We can't go to heaven, y'all, with worldly intentions. I said it today, we cannot expect a maximum blessing with a minimum effort. It's time. It's time that you pick up that joy and hide it in your heart. Because only He can give it to you. Your husband can't give it to you. Your wife can't give it to you. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend can't give it to you. Your mama, your daddy, your sisters, your brothers, your aunties, your uncles can't give it to you. But the man named Jesus, who died for your sins, can give you all the joy that you need in this world. I dare you to turn to Him. That's my little testimony for today. Because I always have joy in my heart. You see, people will look at me and say, all hell may be going off around you. You may be having people lie on you, talk about you, smile in your face, but all the time want to take your place. Y'all know those backstabbers, amen. But guess what? I got joy. And the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Because my joy is in Jesus. And so long as my joy is in Jesus, I'm going to stay on that right path. All of my endeavors will be seen, will be blessed, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to make it. Regardless of what nobody else has to say, because my joy goes before me. I could preach all day on that, amen. But I'm going to let that, I'm going to leave that alone because I got another word that I need to let out. But I want somebody to understand that today. That joy is a powerful thing. And if you don't have it, I urge you to turn to Jesus. And he will give it to you. Amen. For a few minutes, I want to get to the meat of the matter. Father God, it's me, your most humble servant. Lord, I decrease so that you may increase. More of you, less of me. And I thank you. I honor you. And I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture I would like to read to you comes out of the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, beginning with verse 46. And it reads, "Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, son of David, show mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out even the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying, Come to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered him and said, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may see and receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. For a subject for a few minutes, Jesus, what have you done for me lately? Words that were spoken to a by a homeless man that I encountered. This homeless man was 19 years old. No family. No house. No job. No money, for all intents and purposes, from his perspective, no life. As he came to me and asked me for money, as I gave him a dollar, and I said, You ought to pray because Jesus loves you. As he walked off, he said to me, Jesus, what have you done for me? I felt that in my spirit. It crushed me. As if you look around the world, The church has become a place of nuisance. No longer does the church have that royal priesthood that it had even some 30 years ago. It has now become a place. This society is now a post-Christendom society, which sees the church not as the beacon of light, but as one, as the world said, the preacher takes the money, the people suffer, and nobody gets enlightenment. Thus, this gentleman here was one that I met that fell on hard times, and thus he said to me that Jesus has never touched him in his life, that he has never experienced the love of God, that he has never felt a warmth from the Holy Spirit. But me being the me that I am, the pastor that I am, I had to correct this man and explain to him exactly what Jesus has done for him. And I had to tell him that though you may see right now, you may see through dirty eyes, you may have dirty skin, you may not have the shoes that you want or the clothes that you want, but my brother, young man, you have life. And there are so many people out here who may have finer clothes, better shoes, better vision. Their skin may be clean, but guess what? They're laying on a slab right now. But you have life. You have been blessed by God, even though it may not seem like everything is going your way. You have been blessed. Psalm 138, verse 7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserved my life. You stretched out your hands against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you have saved me. Getting back to the scripture here, we see Jesus coming to Jericho. And as they were going out, a man by the name of Bartimaeus was sitting there. Now, back in those days, and even still today, they had a society that was the higher class set with the higher class and the lower class set with the lower class. And even those that were even poorer than the lower class, they dealt with themselves. And thus you find a man that didn't have anything, that was sitting by the side of the road, that was blind, but yet something in him knew that this would be the day that something miraculous would happen in his life. Bartimaeus sat there and he waited. Have you ever had to wait on the Lord? Have you ever asked the Lord for a favor and you had to sit there and wait? And at that moment when you wanted to say, Lord, have you forgotten about me? Lord, have you forgotten what I asked you? Lord, what have you done for me lately? You find that blessing is knocking at your door. Well, see, Bartimaeus was one of those men who was blind, and he was looked at as second rate. He was looked at as a nothing, a nobody, nothing, a nobody. But yet he was still a human being with feelings and emotions. And yet the people told him not to cry out. But he said, Son of David, he acknowledged the fact that Jesus was the Son of David, that Jesus was the king, not only physically, but spiritually, and he knew this. Thus he called him Son of David. Have mercy on me. His messianic title. And when the people said, shut up, boy, shut your mouth, because he don't have time for you, Bartimaeus said, I'm going to cry out until I can't cry out no more. Because, yes, I've been asking all my life, God, have you forgotten me? God, I've seen you heal. God, I've seen you deliver. God, I've seen you fix. God, I've seen you do. But now I'm asking, what have you done for me lately? And until I get an answer, I'm going to cry out, because I see, I know that this man can fix this situation. So I'm going to cry out to him. And I don't care what nobody else has to say to me. You're not going to stop me from calling out to Jesus, because he is the only one that can answer that question. They told him, boy, be quiet. Leave Jesus alone. But he got even louder, y'all. He stood up and said, he cried out, all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Not a word, but he stood still. And he said, come to me. And they said, be of good cheer. He's calling you. The man got up and he ran to Jesus. And Jesus didn't say, you're blessed. Jesus humbly asked, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? The blind man said, heal me, so that I may see, that I may receive my sight. You see, Bartimaeus started out his journey on the road, but ended his journey as a follower. You see, there are many times that we're on a lonely road all by ourselves, and God is saying, but I can fix it. But all you got to do is talk to me. You asking, what have I done for you lately? You are still alive, and I can bless you. I can keep you. I can fix you. I can build you up, and I can show you my salvation. But all you have to do is give me your hand, is let me in. Let me fix it. Second Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You see, Bartimaeus knew that it was all that Jesus could do for him was heal him, and he knew that that was all that he needed for Jesus to do. Well, I ask somebody out there right now, I hear you saying, I hear you talking, preacher, but ain't nobody saying nothing, and I did say ain't, amen, ain't nobody saying nothing when my car note is due. I haven't seen Jesus give me nothing when my rent is due. My baby is hungry, and I don't have the food to feed my child or my children. I don't even have a roof over our heads. But I hear you saying that all I had to do was believe. But what has Jesus done for me lately? As long as you have breath in your body, as long as the blood runs warm in your veins, as long as breath goes in and breath comes out, you have the ability to be blessed by God. You have the ability to receive the sight. You have the ability to call on Jesus, say, Son of David, have mercy on me. Deliver me. Help me. Push me. Pull me. whatever you got to do to get me to see your works, do it. What has Jesus done for you lately? Forget what has Jesus done for y'all. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Lord, when I thought that I couldn't make it, he gave me a cane and said, keep walking. When I thought that I was about to drown in the water, he threw me out that life preserver and said, hang on. When I was hanging on by the rope and my finger was getting ready to slip off, he told me to tie a knot and keep on hanging. What has he done for me lately? Everything. All things. Not some things or not most things. But I can rely on Jesus. When everything goes to hell in a handbasket in my life, guess what? All I have to do is focus on his word. His word teaches me that he will never leave me nor forsake me. That all I have to do is hold on and guard my heart, because I know that Satan is trying to rob, steal, and destroy my blessings. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Somebody needs to know today that as you question what has God done for you, you better look over your life and you better see those blessings that you have received years. It may not be what you want right now, but you better look back and you better see and know that if he carried you back then, he's going to carry you now. If he held you back then, he's going to hold you now. That the same God that looked over our ancestors as they crossed over that sea, the same God that was with our ancestors as they felt the crack of the whip, the same God that was with our ancestors as they picked that cotton, the same God who saw our ancestors to be sold off like cattle, the same God that was there for our ancestors, for our great-grandparents, our grandparents, the same God that soothed old Nana's legs when they were aching, the same God that gave your mama that food. The same God that prepared a place for your mama, for your father, the same God that says, I want you on my team. The same God that watches over your children as they go to and fro. The same God that looks after all your belongings. Amen. Yes, that alarm system works, but guess what? You serve a God, amen, that says, I can protect all. Jesus, what have you done for me lately? I can truly say everything. My God, my Jesus sits high, but he looks low. I stretch my hands out to thee. No other help do I know. I'm here to let you know right now that when you start to question what has Jesus done for you lately, you better start doing some self-reflecting. You better go clean that mirror off and look at your reflection. Because I'm here to let you know right now, if it wasn't for the sacrifices of Jesus, none of us would be here this day. Hold on. Be strong. Be courageous. And continue to fight the good fight of faith. Because if you hold on, if you do not faint, in time, you will reap the benefits of the blood. You will reap the benefits, the blessings, everything that he has for you. It's all yours. But be encouraged. Know that God is on your side all times and in all places. For he is worthy to be praised. Oh, can I get a witness in here today of how good God has been? It's time that somebody tell me how good God has been in your life. Amen. As we close out this message, I always like to give an opportunity to you. If we call it an invitation to Christian discipleship. And as we open up that door being Jesus, if there's somebody here and you need to give your life over to Jesus because you found that there is no other way for you to make it, I offer Jesus to you now. If you are accepting Jesus for the first time, I urge you to pray this prayer with me. Father God, I love you. I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. Lord, I believe that you lived, that you died, and that you rose again on that third day. Now, Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Help me to be a new creature. I repent of my sins, and I only seek now to serve you in spirit and in truth. Accept me into your family, for I am yours, and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, and you sincerely meant it within your heart, salvation now belongs to you. That means if you died this very moment, believing that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, and you died this moment, that you would be, your name would be in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now that's good news. That's real good news. For those of you who know the love of Jesus, but yet you've fallen out of communion with him, I offer you a chance at rededicating your life to Jesus. If you are one that needs to rededicate your life, then we ought to pray this prayer together. Father God, I love you. You know that I am human, that I make mistakes. But Father God, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. Remember that life. Remember that desire. Remember anything that I did to walk away from you, Father, that you would remember it no more. Accept me back, Father, into the fold so that I may be a willing and obedient follower and faithful follower of your word, of your works, and your teaching. I thank you. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Kim, do we have anybody on the line that may want to give a word?
Well, we have a few people on, but no one has hit the number one to go live. So those of you who are listening, please press the number one on your keypad, and we'd be happy to put you through to the pastor.
Amen. Amen. This is your time, amen.
Yeah, no one's hit it yet.
All right, amen. Well, amen. And you know, I want to say that my mother lost her great aunt this week, amen. And she was a pillar of faith, amen. She was the last of the old guards, amen. But we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so long as we are believers, amen, I know that when these old eyes close, that my new eyes will open and God will be there to greet me. Amen. And I just pray for the family. I pray for my family, that everybody, that God will wipe the tears from their eyes and that God will strengthen and comfort in this time of loss. We just thank you, Father God, for what you're doing, Father, and continue to bless our family, Father. And we know, Father, that you will set everything right and in order. Just continue, Father, to love on us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as we wind down, do we have anybody? We got 7 minutes, amen. I always like to give you guys.
We got a little less than that.
Amen.
5 minutes and 55 seconds.
All right. Is anybody, if you got a word for me, amen, let's conversate, amen. This is your time.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. How's your family doing, by the way, while we're waiting? Huh?
Actually, my family is doing well. Everyone's, health is in order. I seem to be the only one carrying, I think it's my allergies going a little nuts. But other than that, everyone's doing good.
Amen.
I appreciate you asking.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And my condolences to your mom's family and to your family as well. And I hate to hear whenever someone's passing, but, you know. It is the natural cycle. So,
yes, sir. We appreciate that, sir. It's she lived to be almost 100 years old, Doc. And you know, when you live that long, brother, it shouldn't be a sad or teary eyes. It should be a celebration, amen. Because amen. If I live to be 100, I don't want nobody crying for me. I just want them to celebrate my life, amen. Because I made a pact with God that so long as He allows me to live, like I'm gonna preach His word until my dying day, amen. And so, it is my prayer that I live that long, amen. Because I want to see all that I can see out of this world. I want to see everybody saved, Doc. You know. So I hope and pray that I just
Yeah, that's what you
amen.
Call a rich, full life. And,
yes,
I echo that. I too hope I get to be around that long and see my sons have sons and daughters and see my if I can make it to the great grand stage, I'm winning, man.
I'm winning, that's
how I look at it.
And you know what the Bible says about that, right? The Bible says that a man is truly blessed by God when he's able to see his children's children. So when you get to the point of being able to see your children's children and beyond that, truly God has his hands on you. And we know that God has his hands on you. So I already know, Doctor, that he's going to continue to take you higher. So all you got to do, Doctor, is just stay in his good graces and you got it made, brother.
Thank you. I will definitely do that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Do anybody want to got a word for us yet?
No, not yet. I see a few of you won. Please press the number one if you want to say anything or. I was hoping you could do a quick prayer for the people who over in New Zealand who lost their lives to that. That nationalist who shot up two mosques.
Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Father God, we just come to you right now, Father, asking you to comfort the families, Father, of those who lost their lives in those mosques, Father. We know now, Father, that this is not a Christian thing. It's not a Muslim thing. It's a people thing. We are the people whom you have created. Father, so we ask right now, Father, that you would bless all those families, Father, that you would bless and that you would touch in a mighty, mighty way, that you would comfort in a mighty way, that you would wipe tears in a mighty way. We ask right now, Father, for strength for the families, for the children, Father, that were left behind, who no longer have parents, Father. We ask that you would send somebody, Father, to be a blessing to the children. But remove this hate, Father. Remove this hate, Father, that is trying to destroy our world. We need you now, Father, more than ever to step in and to fix this situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are now down to the wire. Amen.
45
and,
seconds.
I pray that you all have enjoyed this show. And again, when you get to that point in your life where you start questioning as to what Jesus has done for you, remember and look back over your life, and you will see that you have been blessed and that you will continue to be blessed so long as you keep your hands in his hands. On behalf of Sister Michelle, the leader of this great network, Brother Hakim, the lifeline of this great network, and me, the old preacher of this network, you have been listening to the Jubilee Affair, and we are signing off. Good night and God bless.